We're going to go ahead and welcome our first speaker. I hope you give him a big round of applause in Texas and Mexico and give him your full attention. Please welcome Kurt Robinson.
Thanks, Derek. With great respect, with great love, I welcome you all with all my heart. Thanks. It might be a long day, and it's important to be aware of our physiology, because in the sacred yoga tradition, we say that we master a posture after sitting in it for 3 hours without moving. And today we might be sitting for a while. It's important to be aware of our bodies, because our bodies give us our connection with our mind, our emotions, and our soul. And we can be aware of our body, perhaps not using the backrest on the seat so much, elongating the spine so we can allow the energy to flow through our bodies, and opening up the chest, pushing the shoulders back so that flow of air can move smoothly throughout our bodies, enabling us to accept the gifts that are presented before us. Also opening our vision, our peripheral vision, noticing those things that are around us, brings us into this state of receptivity. So we can be aware of the information, but more than that, the experiences that we might have today and across the following days. Having that energy flow through our bodies, that sacred breath that gives us life, we might also start to think about sending love, like Derek was talking about. And at any moment in these few days and during the course of our lives, we can summon and conjure the loving energy, thinking about the touch of a loved one, the texture of their fingerprints against our palm, or the gaze of a dear friend whom we haven't seen for a long time. When we look in our eyes, we see ourselves reflected, and we know that we are recognized. Feeling those feelings, as Derek said, we might also send them to those people who we suspect might not be worthy of love, because there are those people in this world. Psychologist Eric Fromm wrote these words: love actualizes. He gave the analogy of a baby coming into this world. From a certain perspective, a baby is not worthy of love. It comes out a bundle of tears and cries, making so many demands. But in the mother's eyes, she sees something greater, some potential that is not yet realized. And through her tender caresses, through her love, her affection, physically and spiritually, that baby begins to become its potential. So if we think about those people in Davos, we can send them something special. There are those people who perhaps have been deprived of certain things in their life. Perhaps they've forgotten what we might remember deep inside of ourselves. There are those of us here who had to struggle to remember those lessons that are now so dear to us in our rough experiences throughout our lives. We manage to distill, transmute those experiences into something precious, for us, for those who don't remember, we will remind them through our care, through our affection, just as a mother does to her child. I came to the first Greater Reset, and I've been at every one so far, and they're wonderful events. I remember we were back here in Morelia after going to Suatenejo Guerrero. It was great. And I met a unique fellow by the name of Stephen Lopez of Arizona. And I remember we were driving around here in Morelia after the conference. And he said to me, what an amazing experience it had been to meet so many people who were so fascinating, who shared so much in common, so many values, so willing to explore ideas, willing to explore the world of ideas and use our creativity and discernment to come up with what might be a new world. And I said to him, well, I've been to so many of these events, similar events now, maybe I got used to it. And Stephen turned to me and said, I hope I never get used to it. Stephen taught me an important lesson about appreciation, about gratitude. And if this is your first time at one of these events, you probably have that feeling within you, this natural excitement that comes to you. And you can note it well, because like I said, these feelings can be conjured at any moment of our lives. We know on a deeper level that this is reality. And if we have been to many of these events, we can remind ourselves that we can conjure those moments again. We can bring the magic within our hearts, our solar plexuses, our bellies. Bring it to life once again to make these things new. Many years ago, I was in the theater, in the amateur theater. It was one of the first things I ever did with respect to personal development. I wanted to become more confident, and it worked. It's very interesting because so many things happen in the theater. So much drama that happens on the stage, and so much drama that happens backstage. And now, looking back, I think what a wonderful blessing it was to have all those experiences. In the moment, we might think that things are so severe, so drastic. With hindsight, we soon see over the course of years, or weeks, or minutes, that these things had to happen, that these things were perfect. In the theater, when there's the curtain call, the people come out, the cast comes out, and they all give a bow, at first individually, and then as a team, holding hands. So many things happen on stage. Villains and heroes, murders, and other things. Backstage, everybody is friends. At the end of the game, all of the pieces go into the same box. After the curtain call, during the curtain call, they give a bow and then they do this action. If you've never been in the theater, it might not be obvious what this means. What it means is the cast is giving an opportunity to applaud the people who are working backstage. Like here in Morelia, we have Ramiro working very hard to make sure everything goes well.
Thank you, amigo. Appreciate you, Kurt.
Thanks, Ramiro. And likewise in Texas, the team there, I guess her name is Rebecca, leading the team there. And these wonderful people make these things happen. If they do their job well, we might not even ever know that they were there because they're so diligent and so precise. So many problems arise, and Ramiro has told me about a few of them. And these things are resolved, and we never even hear about them. So it is as well with a lot of processes in the world. Sometimes we notice these things when they go wrong. This enables us to reach a greater level of consciousness. My friend Chris Guida likes to, he told me a lot about going to the gym. And he said, well, you go to the gym and you train, and then eventually maybe you injure yourself. And that is the opportunity to deepen your knowledge because you're understanding your body at a deeper level. We can, however, be more conscious, observing ourselves, observing the world around us, begin to be grateful for those things which we might not have ever noticed. Those things that are going on all the time that are in our favor. It's wonderful to think about our friendships, and our friendships are like this because many times they go well and we support our friends and our friends support us, and occasionally they do break down. By some miracle, we manage to repair our friendships. The Buddha says, when the wise are given the choice between a small pleasure and a great happiness, the wise will consistently choose the prospect of a great happiness. Glad the Buddha's words can get an applause. Or that's good to hear. When we do repair our friendships, we set aside that small pleasure of righteous indignation. Set aside the small pleasure of being right. And that enables us the great happiness of friendship. These things we can note in our lives, these things that are going on so frequently that are in our favor. It's similar with our parents. Some of you know I was deported from Mexico a few years ago for overstaying my welcome and sent back to Australia. Fortunately for me, I didn't even have to hesitate. I knew my parents would be there to support me, that I could stay at their place. And when it was time to depart, my father drove me to the train station, and I thanked him dearly receiving me into his home. I said, not everybody in this world has a home to go to, which is true. Even if our parents have not given us much, they still have given us the gift of life, made that sacrifice with their time and energy, with their own bodies, bring us into this world. It's good to be here. Similarly, we might look back through our lives and think about the great teachers that we've had. When I was teaching English, my students would often refer to me by the title teacher, and I used to hate it. I thought this is dehumanizing because you're referring to me by a role instead of by my name. And I asked them to call me by my name. Later, I learned how great the respect was that they were offering me. In China, they call the teacher the bestower of knowledge. And they were showing me this great gift because they know in their culture that if you listen carefully to a great teacher, it can change the course of your life. These things we hold dear in our hearts. Every morning, most mornings, I wake up and I practice meditation. I practice a certain meditation, which is identification with the guru, going through my body and labeling each part of my body as if it were part of the body of my guru, Baba Muktananda. Just as the teacher is the bestower of knowledge, the guru, literally it means he who removes darkness. And by practicing devotion, we can remove the darkness, the illusions that we have that the world is separate. In our hubris, sometimes we might think we know what is good or bad in this world. Everything happens according to the will of God. There is a story from Ramakrishna Paramahansa. He tells a story of a humble merchant in India. And when he's doing his accounts, he would calculate it in this way. He'll say, the price is 5 rupees and the cost is 4 rupees. By the will of God, profit is 1 rupee. What happened one day, this man is quite humble means, but he's a hard worker and he's quite physically strong. It happened one night that a bunch of robbers came to his house to steal from him. And they said, well, we can see you don't have much, but you are fit. So you will come with us to be our accomplice or to be our workhorse for this night, taking things from all of the other villages. And he went with them willingly, joyfully. And they commanded him to pick up the belongings of the other people and take them with him. Finally, the police came and saw these robbers. And they stopped the men. The robbers ran away. And this humble merchant was standing there with all of the stolen goods. They arrested him. And the next morning, they took him to the court. And all of the people in the village were puzzled at this. They wondered how such an honest man could be taken and arrested. And before the court, the judge asked the man, well, what is it? Please tell me in your own words what happened. And he said, by the will of God, I was sleeping in my house. By the will of God, These robbers knocked on my door, broke the door down. By the will of God, they got me out of bed. By the will of God, they commanded me to walk the streets. By the will of God, these men robbed many houses. By the will of God, I carried the stolen goods for them. And by the will of God, the police arrived. By the will of God, they arrested me. Delivered this speech to prove his innocence in this way. And the judge said, very well, I could see that you are innocent. And he let him go. This is very interesting. My thoughts in this story. The man was robbed, the man was taken and forced to rob. We gave him an opportunity to show his great faith to all the other villagers, to know what it is to truly believe that everything happens by the will of God, good and bad. Even at this event, the name of it inspired in a peculiar way by those people who we might hate or we might love. For whatever part they play in this world, this is our world. Jesus Christ said, look at the rain. It falls on the land of the righteous man, just as it does on the land of the wicked man. Look at how the sun shines. It shines on the crops of the righteous man just as it does on the wicked man. And then he issues this simple command, which I'm sure you'll find very easy to implement in your life. Jesus Christ says, therefore, be perfect. So that's all we have to do, guys. That's all. But it's true. My friend is a Buddhist monk. His name is Pra Jeremy. And he told me the other day, in the Lord's Prayer, they say this, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And he said the difference is, on earth we struggle to do God's will. We can't avoid it. There's things in our life that will guide us in a certain way. The things in the universe, the powers of the universe are so powerful that they will push us. They will guide us to the right decision. But we struggle, and for that we suffer. The difference is, in heaven, the will of God is done joyfully, with pleasure. Just as they say here in Latin America, you say thank you, and they say with pleasure, con gusto, con mucho gusto, con mucho placer. With pleasure and with gusto, because they know how valuable it is to serve other people. And we can have this in our lives when we are called to serve, we can do it with that pleasure. Okay, thanks, Ramiro. Let's see. I wonder what else I have to say. The bad things in our lives that happen to us are actually blessings. That's the important message. I was reading, I like to read the Bhagavad Gita, and I always found it, before I read this book, I heard of its reputation, and that the story is where Arjuna is heading into battle, to do battle with his own family. And he doesn't want to do it. And Lord Krishna approaches him. Lord Krishna is his charioteer. And he starts to give him advice as he's going into this battle. And I thought this is very unusual before reading the book. because I thought, actually, maybe this book is a kind of propaganda. It's created by some warlike emperor of ancient India, trying to convince people that war is holy. Actually, having read the book, it is my opinion that this book is integral, that this book has so much integrity, there is no way it could be an act of propaganda. That the reason Arjuna is heading into war is because war is one of the most atrocious things that can happen. But it must happen in this case, and that makes it holy, and that makes it perfect. Acknowledging this in our lives, acknowledging the perfection that already exists in our lives, interpreting it to extract the divine lessons, that is what leads us to live a good life. And yeah, that's the message, guys. I'd like to get into some plugs quickly. My podcast, I've got 480 episodes of my podcast. It's called A Beautiful Thought. And it's all online. It's all free. In many ways, it's my life's work. And everything that I've learned in my life to figure out how to be happy and joyful and enjoy every precious moment of this life that we have on earth, it's all there, laid out, asking people like Derek and Ramiro about the lessons from their life, like about Derek's trip to prison and how he managed to turn that into a force for good for his life, how he managed to become a man of his word and much more than that. I'd also mention that we're doing some retreats out of Rancho Cicada, where I live. We do some meditation retreats, probably about three a year, and the next one is probably coming up in March. If you come up to me later, you can get my details or write your details down so we can talk to you about that. Other than that, thanks for coming. Oh, there's one important thing. I've still got 2 minutes, right? Very important thing. So if you travel around Mexico, you can go to all kinds of wonderful places, and you'll see, like, even in the cities here, there are trees, many green zones in Guadalajara, in Morelia, and all in the cities. Also, you can go to San Luis Potosí, go out into the desert, and you will see the stars so bright. You've never seen them like that before. You might even see some very unusual lights like I did out there. So many things. I invite you, when you see that, to remember these words, the words of Max Ehrmann from his Desiderata. You are a child of the universe, no less than the trees and the stars. You have a right to be here. And whether or not it is clear to you, no doubt the universe is unfolding as it should. Thank you.
All right, let's give Kurt a round of applause.
Are you sick of being told you will own nothing and be happy?
Are you sick of being told how to live your life by the mainstream media?
Exactly what people think, and this is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
Are you exhausted with the truth community, focusing only on the problems?
Are you ready to do something about it?
Let's take action together. Join the Freedom Cell Network in January 2023 as we return with the Greater Reset for co-creation.
The Greater Reset is a 5-day in-person and online gathering where solutions-focused speakers and organizations share practical steps for individual and collective liberation.
This year, we'll even hear experiences from real communities on the ground across multiple continents.
The Greater Reset 4 will focus on activating 5 focus areas over 5 days.
January 18th, liberate your mind, body, and soul.
January 19th, permaculture and food independence.
January 20th, agorism and parallel networks.
January 21st, take back our tech.
January 22nd, building free and conscious communities.
This is our time to co-create the world we want for 2030 and beyond.
Join us as we lay the foundation for the next stage of a free humanity.
Join us from January 18th to the 22nd, 2023, as we gather online, in person in Central Texas and Morelia, Mexico.
Join us for the Greater Reset 4 co-creation.
View the full speakers list and organize your local activation hub at thegreaterreset.org.